This interview is part of a thought leadership study created by KPMG in collaboration with FT Longitude.
For years, Latin America was seen as unpredictable terrain for M&A. But new research from KPMG shows that the story is changing. Dealmakers are looking at the region with growing confidence. So what's driving this optimism? High-growth sectors like tech, finance, energy, and private equity are fueling momentum. But the real story goes deeper. Today, we are focusing on tax complexity, a constant across Latin America, and often the hidden factor that causes deals to stall or fall apart entirely. I'm Ben Bishore, Group Editor at FT Longitude, and I'm joined by Bart Van Haren, Group CFO at Millicom, a leading telecommunications provider in Latin America. Bart, welcome to the studio.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you for having me.
Bart, I want to start with a data point. A KPMG survey of dealmakers in Latin America shows that 9 in 10 of them have experienced material tax issues disrupting M&A in the region. And 1 in 4 have experienced even deals collapsing because of tax matters. Those are really, really high, staggering numbers. Before we dive deeper, can you explain what might constitute a material tax issue in this context, something that results in these material issues in a transaction?
In our M&A in Latin America, very often you see tax contingencies that are hard to quantify, and besides hard to quantify, also unpredictable. We have somewhat unpredictable jurisdictions. A tax ruling that you do today with an administration might be reinterpreted by the next administration, or, you know, overruled or changed, or you get new tax laws. We are operating in 11 countries. We have multiple changes of tax laws every year. And that makes it complicated and hard for due diligence to really capture all of these. I must say, we've walked away from deals because of tax contingencies. So the numbers that you tell me are not very surprising. Sometimes we have tax contingencies that exceeded the value of the deal. So hard to do business under those circumstances.
Does that make it particularly difficult for first-time investors in the region to, you know, get a deal across the line successfully?
If you're not used with the region, I think it's very difficult, because it's true, our tax authorities are very aggressive. I think we are all the time, we have some litigations open, but most of them we actually win. And so in some countries where the tax authorities are really aggressive, you know, interpretations of the law and having as well, you know, some power over the judicial cases, it becomes more difficult to defend. And so if you're new to the region, it can come a bit like a shocker. And so you need to pay attention indeed.
I mean, we are talking about Latin America as if it was just like one sort of big tax regime, but it is obviously a number of countries. Is it even fair to sort of generalize in that way?
Yeah, so where we with our US or European mindset, we see the risk framework from that angle. In fact, the tax laws are not harmonized at all over Latin America. So we manage this with a strong central team, but as well strong local teams. Every country has their own head of taxes and some advisors around him or her, because every country is really different. So what works in one country may not in the other, where an interpretation about, you know, general transfer pricing is acceptable in one country, it's not in the other. So that indeed, we shouldn't generalize and put it all on the same bucket.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have obviously described that you have your setup with your tax experts on the ground. But, you know, what would you recommend someone who's maybe not so familiar with the region? Like, do they need to hire local advisors, or is there another way to go about this?
No, absolutely. I think local advisors is key. Again, every country is a bit different. We don't have aligned tax rules across Latin America. So a local team you always need to have. And then, of course, you know, you can protect yourself in your purchase agreement against certain taxes and the implication of certain taxes. Here, U.S. teams can help in structuring, because typically they're more experience with how to do this, but the combination in between both is where you make success. You cannot put boilerplate tax protection mechanisms that we have here in the US and apply them to Latin America because the cases are very particular. But if you make both teams work together, and us as a central team who are used to operate in Latin America, we can make them talk the same language somehow. You know, that's the role of the central team here. And they have your US tax expert and your local tax expert getting to the same page.
Now, if you think about the different phases of an M&A transaction, how early should tax be brought into the conversation here? Is that something that needs to be thought of from the very beginning?
The earlier, the better, I would say. And I think a common mistake is to take taxes like a report that you get at the end of your due diligence and then see like a legal case. Okay, there is these 2 points that we need to address. But very often when you do the tax due diligence right, you get a feel of what's going on. And then you need to incorporate that in your commercial model, in your valuation model, and how are you going to tackle with this. If you just focus on the corporate income tax compliance, you're going to miss a lot. In Latin America, a lot of the exposure comes from operational taxes, such as VAT, turnover taxes, labor-related charges. To put that in your valuation model, you need these inputs really early on. You cannot go the last 2 weeks and renegotiate and say, hey, I made the mistake in my valuation model. I get these additional taxes that I didn't know of. So you need to embed them really early. And that becomes then more of a discussion with the operational team, with the valuation team, and the tax team together.
And given how you describe everything, you also really need, like, you need to be quite agile and quite flexible to sort of change things in the process, because the way you describe it, like, sort of regulations can change at any given time, or, I don't know, some court decision applies today, but no longer tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. Flexible, that's key. Agile. Rules can change and they can change again. But, you know, the other part of it, I think, is to take the government and the regulators as a partner. And for us, you know, you mentioned in your introduction about technology, it's modernization of the networks in Latin America. So there is a win-win here where we're bringing something to the country and, you know, hopefully a profitable business, and they will get taxes and employment and all of that in return. So unless we try to find the last dollar or they are intending to do the same, there is actually a good cooperation possible. And so many countries do apply that logic. We have very good businesses and good relationship with governments, but there are always a few exceptions.
But that sounds like another important piece of advice here to sort of, you know, like get in touch with the regulators or, you know, like other government agencies, depending, obviously. You're in the telecommunications industry, so it's quite a regulated industry, I guess, where the state takes a keen interest. In other industries, it might be different. But keeping that in mind, yep, sounds to me like an important piece of advice.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I want to bring in another data point from KPMG's research here. 63% of dealmakers say political shifts are increasing tax and regulatory uncertainty across Latin America. In practical terms, how are you seeing this playing out? Are certain countries and sectors more exposed than others?
Yeah, no, and we discussed before, we certainly see political shifts impacting fiscal policy and then also often resulting in sector-specific taxes. So we in telco, we get special telecom taxes. We're also one of the 5 or 10 largest companies in each of those countries. So if there's need for more tax income, we're in the top 10 to where to look for. I believe it shouldn't be just about risk. It should be about engagement. And I mentioned engaging with the regulator, engaging, you know, with the administration. And in our recent acquisitions in Ecuador and Uruguay, for example, we engaged with the regulator from day one. And we saw that open dialogue with authorities helped build clarity and actually accelerated responsible investment. So when you approach a regulator as a partner in modernization, as I said before, you can mitigate a significant amount of that political uncertainty. So we are, you know, they know what we want to do. We know what their vision is. And then you hope that you create some type of stability around that so that you can say, okay, I can now deploy and invest $100, $200 million and know that I have some level of stability for the foreseeable future.
Do you have any specific advice here to close? Like, sort of, how can companies set themselves up that if they want to make an acquisition in the region or invest in the region, that they are positioned to actually get the most out of it and not just like stumble over tax issues as a surprise?
It's a bit of the summary of what we've been discussing, right? So engage your advisors early so that they can help you along the road of the due diligence, the financial planning, the commercial offering, and the post-closing integration. Two, if it's a sizable transaction, engage with authorities. You know, explain them what you want to do, how much you're going to invest, how important it is to the country, to employees, etc. And in their return, what's your vision, dear authority? Tell us, and can you assure us, you know, to the extent possible that we get some stability in this environment so that we are new entrants in the country feel welcome and appreciated with what we're doing. And then obviously both sides need to keep their word on the investment and the stability. And then last is keep the advisors on board, you know, in the early weeks after the integration started, just to keep the tax awareness. What are we doing different than the company was doing before we acquired? And does that trigger new risks or crystallizes some risks? So those three elements, I would say, are key.
Bart, fantastic. Very interesting conversation and some really hands-on advice here for our listeners. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Ben. Thank you for having me. See you soon.
This interview is part of a thought leadership study created by KPMG in collaboration with FT Longitude.